Blog Talk Radio.
We're a little different. There's no need to be ashamed. You got the light.
Shalom, my brothers and sisters. We're back again. Welcome to the show. We're back again. Yes, indeed. We're back again. Thankful to the Most High. Yes, indeed. We're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yav, Covenant Remembrance, Edom Yav, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, as always, for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has thankfully granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me that I have Him some very important, in fact, He told me very precious words, very important things for Him to do. He told me because of what I must do, He said to me out of the crew, indeed, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. Oh, yes, indeed. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His. Yes, His protection and His guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. Most High has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed. He told me I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, and if they could, my brothers and sisters, to silence and to destroy. We who are wise, knowing the Most High, is true to all that He has ever spoken. Know that according to His script, to His word, according to the scriptures, said His word will not return to Him void, but shall accomplish all that for which He has spoken. Acts 3:18-23. Yes, indeed, the Most High has promised a time of restitution, a refreshing of all things. Yes, the bringing back to mind all things that He has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. And those who are wise, understanding that the Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it, reproving all that is sin. Knowing that the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is a direct declaration from the Most High. I said it's a direct declaration from the Most High. Not according to the diverse standards by which men have sought to exalt their various thrones or their pulpit seats. But my brothers and sisters, the gospel is the rule, my brothers and sisters, by which the kingdom of Yah that will be established upon this earth will be ruled, offering governorship, even the hope of peace. Yes, my brothers and sisters, even a sense of absolution unto righteousness, divine righteousness and justice in the earth. We have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the rulers have not judged, nor have they set rules in the earth, my brothers and sisters. In all things true to the Most High, His word, pure and perfect, offers only one choice. It's because the rulers, my brothers and sisters, have not taught that pure, perfect, complete word, but have ruled according to their own nations, national allegiances, political allegiances, cultural, social, and pseudo-religious, economic even religions, allegiances. It's because of all these other gods that men have established, other priorities that men have established, that men, my brothers and sisters, have not fully discerned what is the gospel. Again, my brothers and sisters, the gospel is not, I repeat, is not the multitude of diverse, contentious, contradictive rules that govern the various nations, but it is the rule of the kingdom of the Most High, the holy kingdom of the Most High. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, like I said, because the rulers have governed according to their own allegiances, and there's so many different allegiances after which they sought to preserve a multitude of fallen, I said fallen, unrighteous, and unjust Senses of ideal, imaginations, false governorships. It's sure, my brothers and sisters, that every one of these that does not seek to be true to Him, true to Yah, in fact is sin. Most High once told me directly, He said that any time man is subject to any conscience less than his own, any time man is separated from discerning his conscience, it is tribulation. It is trouble. Look at the words, trib, trouble, trouble, Yes, my brothers and sisters, it is sin. Something, there's a lot to speak about tonight. I can only tell you that one scripture I like to read to you, and it has much connotation. It has much connotation. It's read a little differently in your King James Version, but I can tell you where you can read this scripture with this connotation in mind. I'm talking about Isaiah 28th chapter. There's a lot to speak about tonight. Truly there is. Lots needs to be set in order. Isaiah 28th chapter. The 28th chapter and the first verse. And some of you might want to look under the book of Isaiah at this website where we might find biblical scripture from the Aramaic, Old Testament Aramaic, Elder Testimony Aramaic. And you might want to check out this verse that I'm about to show you, how it reads from that text. I wish I had that particular text in this particular system. I would put it up for you to see it directly yourselves. But I can perhaps type it up really quickly. Tell you where you can find it yourself. Somebody else out there might be able to do this for me if I'm not able to do it so quickly myself. Let's see. In fact, it might be possible to do just that. I'm putting in the link. Somebody might want to, I appreciate it if you would. To take this link and put in the chat Isaiah 28:1 from this link. It's about to be in just a moment. Could you put in, if someone would do this for me, Isaiah 28:1. From the Aramaic Bible called the Holy Bible from the Ancient Eastern Text. Okay. Excuse me for just a second. Taking a moment. Well, I put it in the chat. It has a 23 there. Probably try 28. Nope, doesn't work that way. A little more difficult to put this in than I expected. Perhaps I would have done better just to simply tell you it's there and let some of you look it up. Okay, that's somebody put in, thank you, remember the promise. How about going to the second verse? Can you get that in as well? Nothing like a little cooperation. Ah, that's it. Hallelujah. It's a latter-day prophecy, my brothers and sisters, concerning what will ultimately be necessary. Thank you. Yes, indeed. What will ultimately be necessary in order to finally bring absolution to the world. Many times in prophecy, when it speaks of Israel, it's not necessarily always speaking of Israel proper. But sometimes, my brothers and sisters, is simply speaking to all those who claim to be the people of the Most High. So often relating to Israel in the context, especially when it speaks about a lot of latter-day prophecy, of people in bondage, in bondage and don't even know it. Blinded by the misconceits of others in diaspora, thinking they are true to the Most High. But my brothers and sisters, there's no question about it. There comes a time there must be a sense of absolution in there. Must be a sense of knowing exactly what the Most High requires. I said exactly what the Most High requires for His people. Do people dare to believe that the people who ought to be the light of the world, excuse me, that the people who ought to be the light of the world are people that were portrayed to the earth all of its confusions? Are they who would be called by the holy name? Are they to be the children of the one Most High after the pure, perfect, complete knowledge of His will, which according to all the Most High is forsworn to His people? Are they to be divided by all the allegiances of all the various Gentile kings across the earth? Well, the scriptures talk in so many places. Hosea 7 is a good place. Hosea 11. Many prophecies talking about Israel still in captivity to Babylon. So many of those prophecies speak about Israel still being a people besieged, blinded by their rulers, and nevertheless too prideful to realize a need to transcend the misruling influences all around them. The national, political, social, and cultural, and pseudo-religious allegiances all around them. But many today call themselves Israel, my brothers and sisters, or call themselves Hebrews. But the truth of the matter, there's still many divisions exist extant amongst us. And the scripture says, true Israel will speak no lies. Those who will be saved, my brothers and sisters, will speak no lies, no false doctrine. Do no inequity, no injustice. And they will be steadfast and a strong people, my brothers and sisters. No one able to harm or in any way destabilize them. Do we see that today? Absolutely not. Meaning that something must occur to bring such glory in the earth to bear. I'd like to call attention to the verses we were just speaking of. Isaiah. The 28th chapter. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, Say, woe to the diadem of the strength of his glory. Which dominates at the entrance of the fertile valley. Of those who are overcome, it says overcome with wine. How about overcome with false doctrines? They translate it a little bit differently in the King James, but I can only tell you the verses make a lot more sense here at 28:2. It says, the Most High hath a mighty and a strong one. Someone who is strong in the knowledge of his will, which is a tempest of hail and as a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing. I hope you hear this, my brothers and sisters. The Aramaic text reads a little differently. He says, Most High says, I will give rest to this land. It ultimately means I will give rest to the lands by his hand. That mighty and strong. I said by his hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, therefore should be trodden under feet. It means those who are destabilized by the drunkenness wrought of a multitude of worldly, carnal influences. Errant. In spirit, errant in understanding. He said, the glorious beauty which is ahead of the fat valley shall be as a fading flower. In other words, at this time, we're talking about its ancient glory has begun to fade. And it is as the hasty fruit before the summer. In other words, immature. Hasty before the summer. In other words, it ripens quickly, but it's still, like I said, my brothers and sisters, not before the time of the full bringing forth of the summer harvest, which he that looketh upon it seeth, and while it is yet in his hand, he eats it up. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, scriptures talk about it. Listen to this 25th verse, to this 5th verse, 28th chapter. See, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty to the residue or the remnant of his people. Meaning, he shall bring forth, finally at a time. Scripture relates something like this also in Isaiah 40. At a time when there must be no more contentiousness among the people, no more warfare among the people. It talks about Messiah, my brothers and sisters, coming forth at a time very much like what's written in Isaiah 41, 40, 41. It says pretty much the same thing in Isaiah 40. 41, scriptures also in Isaiah 59, talking about the conscience of mankind having dropped to a very much a low ebb. Spiritual depravity, my brothers and sisters, in the midst. And it says, be for spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment, and for strength to them who turn in battle at the gate. But they also, talking about the rulers also, even those who will call themselves prophets of an head with wine, strong drink out of the way. And it talks about the priest and the prophet. They've erred through strong drink, swallowed up the wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They're erring vision. They stumble in judgment. All the tables are full of vomit and filthiness. No place clean. So in the midst of all these corruptions, to whom shall he teach knowledge? To whom shall he make to understand the report? Or understand the doctrine? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Okay, we need to look at these scriptures really closely and note what they are talking about. First off, the immediate premise is it talking about, obviously, since the Most High one day be counted as a diadem of beauty, even Messiah himself. It's talking about, my brothers and sisters, a time when the confusion of the earth must be cast down. Whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, that has kept the people blind, not discerning the absolution the Most High has intended. All such confusion must be cast down. Look at the point. I see what's down here, but I'm telling you, sometimes they stick a little word in there here and there that doesn't exactly relate fully to the point. He says he would give rest to the land by his hands. Isaiah in the 28:2, if you look in the King James, he said, cast down to the earth with the hand. The NASB 28:2, they put down, cast it to earth with his hand. As I tell you, sometimes I can tell you another good example, Isaiah 61. Sometimes they don't always put the proper descriptive word there to relate to who is being modified or what thing is being modified or what the scriptures directly is, the verbiage of the scriptures being pointed at. But I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, having heard what I've heard from the Most High directly himself, Most High does and will show forth a one strong in his discretion and might, who will expose all confusion by the strength of his discretion, the strength of his word. Those of you who know Isaiah 28 should also know, because we've talked about it many times in this show, Matthew 7, scriptures also in Isaiah 29. And both those scriptures talk about exposing those who stand upon a faulty foundation, who have cried out, Lord, Lord, but not to perform fully what is the will of the Father. So the overflowing torrent, overflowing storm, in so many cases in Scripture, is talking about the rebuke of the Most High to declare the fullness of his will, so that wherever it is that man has walked short of the mark, it will be exposed. The illusion will be exposed. One good example. 28th chapter of Isaiah. Judgment will I lay. 28th chapter of Isaiah, 17th verse. Judgment will I also lay to the lion, to the plummet lion, righteousness to the plummet. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Hail. Shall sweep away, talking about his rebuke, like a destroying hail. Shall sweep away the refuge of lies, the truth, the abundance of truth that men have ignored. Sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death, it says, something exceeding righteous from the Most High, shall expose whatever fallen standards, perverse, foolish standards men have upheld. That your covenant with death should be disannulled, or shall be annulled, if you will. And your agreement with hell or the grave should not stand. When the overflowing scourge, remember talking about the overflowing hail, overflowing torrent, shall pass through. Talks about those who will not hearken to the greater word should be trodden down by it. Remember we just read in the 28th chapter in the beginning? He said the drunken of Ephraim will be trodden down by the strength of a great word, and it's really talking about those who will not hearken to the greater righteousness of Yah. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you, morning by morning, it shall pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation on to understand the report. But the Most High has a plan, my brothers and sisters, men will understand. For what it say here, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself out on it. The covering narrower than he can wrap himself up in it. There's going to be a tear for men to understand the report that what the doctrines they have repealed have not been sufficient. Messiah even coming forth to say, 28:22, now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I've heard from the Most High a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. So give ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. In other words, the Most High has something that he expects to be brought to bear as a result of having sent forth his word. But man will find out in that day that so much of what he thought was wise was not wise enough. Most High told me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving all things in consideration. What they think they know, not giving all things consideration, has not been wisdom at all. The prophecies relate Israel awakening first. Yes, a great harvest shall come. And the scriptures talk about that hasty fruit. Well, we know that it's not wise to draw conclusions quickly. But my brothers and sisters, at a time when the world still has a time that it needs to still yet grow, Israel, hearkening to the reproof of the Most High, true Israel, hearkening to the reproof of the Most High, will awaken first. And because of this, my brothers and sisters, the cream of the crop, let's just say those who have been most diligent, who will catch on to what the plan of the Most High is, catch on to his standard most swiftly. They are the ones, my brothers and sisters, that should be the light of the world. We've been talking about that a lot. But did you notice what these scriptures say? It's really saying that the way that rest shall come to the earth, the way that rest shall come to the earth is that whatever it is that is falling short of the mark must be exposed. I want you to think about something, my brothers and sisters. Very powerful bits of scripture to give full consideration. Isaiah 40th chapter, I'd like to take you there. Bear with me. Try to consider all the things that I'm seeking to relate here, because I'm about to make some very precious points. Isaiah 40 speaks of one of a voice like unto Elijah. And those who know this scripture, because we've talked about it many times, it talks about the heralding of the coming of the king. In the book of Matthew, Micah, if you will, Mark, Luke, we see scriptures that are corollary to these. The scriptures where it talks about one likened to Elijah, one called John the Baptist, saying, repent ye, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3 and 2. Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of Yah is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, it's time we see this scripture in the context it should have been related in. Because in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, the way they translated things in the New Testament, there have been times that they confused the word king and the word kingdom. Just like sometimes the word message, messenger, angel, king. Sometimes those words have been, let's just say, they didn't pick the right way of translating the words, even because the words, though the words have all these meanings, they didn't pick the most exacting one to help you to understand things in the manner that should be. Luke 3 and 5, as it is written, 3 and 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Somebody might be able to do this. In fact, I can go back through them again. Luke 3 and 4, somebody may be able to put those in the chat. And if they can't do it, maybe I can myself. Takes a little bit of work, though, with the interface that I'm having to work with this time. Luke 3 and 4 through 5 through 6. I said Luke 3 and 4 through 5 through 6. I might as well go ahead and put them up. Luke 3 and 4 through 5 through 6. Okay. I'm going to put these in the chat. I think I can do it. Okay. Sometimes the chat doesn't let you put everything in at one time, so I need to put it one verse at a time. Can't just lump it. Luke 3 and 4. Luke 3 and 5. Okay. And Luke 3 and 6. Give me just a moment. These verses all come from Isaiah 40. And it's important that we understand what's going on here, my brothers and sisters. Truly it is. Okay. As is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, Luke 3 and 4, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. Crooked places made straight. The rough ways shall be made smooth. And all eyes shall see the salvation of our Yah. It might sound amazing, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you something that might sound amazing according to these scriptures if we look at it closely. You ever stop to consider what salvation really is? I got a related context here, my brothers and sisters, that many may not have thought to look at. Look at these verses. Isaiah 40 and 1. All these things need to be taken into consideration. Pray for the day when everyone knows the scriptures well enough that when you talk about these things, they just know what's there. That would indeed be a beautiful thing. Comfort ye, my people, said your Holy One. I'm just cutting and pasting here. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, for that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received the Most High's hand, a double, if you will, punishment for all her sins. And there is a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Most High. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Yah. Even our Holy One. But in this case, my brothers and sisters, without question, these scriptures that say the same thing, every valley should be exalted, every mountain and hill made low, crooked should be made straight, and the rough places plain. Some of you might know these scriptures come from also Isaiah 44, going into 45, speaking the one they call, I often speak of, called the Kurdi. The glory of the Most High should be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, and the mouth of the Most High shall speak. For the mouth of the Most High has spoken it. Replication of the same prophecy. If we look at these scriptures closely, my brothers and sisters, comparing the scriptures saying, where it says, comfort ye, O my people. The scriptures in Luke, scriptures we spoke of earlier in Matthew, repent ye. Repent ye. Some scriptures say repent and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of Yah is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The point being related is this, my brothers and sisters. If it says, repent ye and believe the gospel, and it talks about the contentions or the conflict that has been amongst men, have we really considered, my brothers and sisters, what has caused the conflict? What has caused the warfare? What has caused and maintained the contentions that exist among men? Have we really considered, my brothers and sisters, is it always that we first look outside ourselves rather than within? Do we dare to think, my brothers and sisters, with all the divisions that exist among us, that all our enemies, all that have been enemies against our awakening, have been without? My brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter, as much that has been animosity against our awakening, has been a matter of we ourselves. Think about it. If it says repent and believe the gospel, and as I've said to you before, not everything men have believed, has been a matter of men seeking to uphold the righteousness of Yah. Many times, my brothers and sisters, many times, it's instead been a matter of men seeking to uphold their own rule. If it says repent and believe the gospel, then men are going to have to repent of something they have believed that is not the rule of Yah. Who is it, my brothers and sisters? What is it? What manner of instrumentation of instrument or institution has caused and preserved contentions among our people? You ever stop to consider it's the rulers themselves? So when the scriptures say such things as comfort ye, O my people, the time of your warfare must be accomplished or come to an end. And we read forward in the scriptures in Isaiah 40 that speak of the coming of one who is to bring absolution to his people. Absolution to the world. How about looking at Isaiah 41:4? Oh boy, a lot of scripture that needs to be looked at. Scripture tells us, keep silence before me, O isles, let my people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who has raised up, stirred up this righteous one from the east, and called him his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him to rule over kings. He gave them the kings as dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow. My brothers and sisters, if there's going to be no more contentions among us, if there's going to finally be peace among us, if there's going to be peace in this world, would you ever consider, my brothers and sisters, that the salvation of man is also what's required to bring salvation to the holy name? What I mean by that, my brothers and sisters, no one anymore forging the holy name upon whatever misimaginations men conceive. And I know full well, and many of you do too, that there are many out there who just simply want to believe that what they have believed is wise, and they will pay to create and to maintain institutions, pastors, if you will, priests, rabbis, whoever, to support them in their vanities, comforting the people in vain. When the scripture says, comfort thee, O my people, comfort ye, O my people, it's talking about finally bringing forth a peace where all the people can agree in the righteousness of one. In the peace, my brothers and sisters, established from on high, the Most High said he would give according to his promise through one that he has chosen. Did you notice the scriptures talk about the time of our contentions coming to an end? And that means, my brothers and sisters, whatever manner of rulership, external or internal, that is not true to the will of Yah, the Most High must silence, put to shame, for the express purpose that his people, who will be true to his righteousness, at last be free. Think about the scripture that says, repent ye and believe the gospel. It means, like I said before, my brothers and sisters, that what men have believed that has not been true to the rule of the holy kingdom, the kingdom the Most High will establish on earth, have been sin. What has caused division among his people, even been damnable sin, my brothers and sisters, in that it has caused men to be victimized, deceived, and deceivers themselves, because they believed a word that didn't take all things in consideration that would have declared indeed what is the righteousness of the Most High. Did you notice, my brothers and sisters, those scriptures are not talking about when they put down there, repent ye, for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. Those scriptures are talking about the coming of a king, my brothers and sisters. Repent ye, because the king, the appearing of the king is at hand. Men have walked after the diverse ideals of a multitude of different rules across this earth. Did the Most High say that their rule will be viable unto his kingdom? That's not what I see, my brothers and sisters. When I read such scriptures as the ones that I told you about before, which are the closing words of the latter testimony in the book of Revelation, Messiah comes saying he is the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Do people really believe that all the kings of the earth, according to all their dictates, have power to declare who will enter the kingdom of Yah? You need to think again, because all the scriptures in Revelation and in so many other prophecies actually say that when Messiah comes, the first one running for cover is going to be the rulers, because they lied. They treacherously set up false standards, plastered in what men thought was the name of the Most High upon all their trash and all their illusions. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, they caused many to perish, never knowing what indeed is the lawful righteousness of the Most High. So think about it. When the scripture says he is the root and the offspring of David, it said this is the testimony. That's what it really means. They say I've sent my angel. But the word for angel is also testimony. It's also message that you should testify, he said, in the churches, that he is the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. My brothers and sisters, those who understand the meaning of this scripture understand that the pursuit of what indeed is salvation, the overcoming of the world, the overcoming of the illusions of it, is no light-hearted matter in any way. Nothing to be taken anything less but devoutly and seriously and with much reverence. When he said he's the root and offspring of David, scripture says he also says he has the keys of David, brothers and sisters. And the keys of David, the scripture is related this way. It relates that he is the one who opens and no man shuts, who shuts and no man opens. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, the one who has the keys of David has the power to declare who it is that will enter the kingdom and who will not. Revelation 3 and 7. I have all these things already in my head. I pray for the day that everyone will, that it will be so much easier to explain things when you talk about looking at the scripture and understanding how many implications there are for everything the Most High has said. But here, in Revelation 3 and 7, it says, they put it down to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. Would have better interpreted, I can only tell you that some texts would have interpreted this. This is the message to the church of Philadelphia. There's a message that should be written simply to the church of Philadelphia. I can only tell you that there are times when they put down this word angel, and they put it down for a reason that can kind of obstruct the minds. Many believing that these scriptures have seen that the message is to the heads of the church. What the angel also could be related is the minister, the messenger of the church, messenger to the church. But my brothers and sisters, if this is just simply Messiah's message to the church, it means that those who would be called rulers have no right to obstruct it. I pray you will understand that. Not always are leaders of the church true to their commission. And very often, my brothers and sisters, those who rule over the church are the biggest obstacle to the greater understanding. Why do you think they so often have always resisted the words of the prophets who will come to reprove, and even if they reprove rightly? We're better, my brothers and sisters, than understood. This is just simply a message to the church of Philadelphia. And I can only tell you that when the scriptures talk about this idea about the churches that are in Asia, as they put it in the King James Version, the word there for Asia is Asia Minor, which really relates even more. In Revelation, for instance, a lot of things to put together in the mind. Revelation 4 says, Yohanan to the seven churches were in Asia. Some of you may have the availability of G773 in the Strong's Concordance. And it will tell you that it's speaking of not just Asia, but Asia Minor. And there's a reason why that is important. And I'll tell that to you, too, in just a moment. Asia Minor was a more like on the western, far western shores of Asia, closer to, if you will, put it that way, Hellenist ports. Ports that were under Greco-Roman influence. And I realize that I'm putting a lot of information out there at this time that needs to be integrated in the mind. But rest assured, my brothers and sisters, with the help of the Most High, we are going to get through this. We're going to get all these points across. Might take more than just tonight to do it. Might take a bit more preparation to lay it all out in such a way that everybody could see it. But I'm about to put up in the chat again now what's down there for that word Asia. Okie dokie. Here it is. Okay. In the Greek, number 773, Asia. Go down Asai, Asia. That is Asia. Asia Minor, usually only it's, in this case, they go down its western shore. But we know Asia is far more than its western shore, so you understand this must be talking about Asia Minor. Well, when Messiah said he's the written offspring of David and the bright morning star, realize that David, the throne of David, will decide who sits upon it. Who sits upon the throne of David will decide who enters his kingdom. We've been talking before about Revelation 7:2, about the one called the angel from the rising sun, same one who is called the morning star. He also has the power to decide who will be confirmed into the kingdom and who will not. The one called the morning star, my brothers and sisters, the one whom is mentioned in Isaiah 44-45. It says it proves foolish the wisdom of the wise. Most High opened before him the two-leaved gates. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it means that the Most High reveals to him all the secrets that all the world may know who it is. It is the Most High. They put down in King James another time, they put out modifiers, kind of misdirected. They put down that the Most High has called him, though he has not, this one has not known the Most High. No, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you Isaiah 41, Isaiah 59, and other scriptures like it. Talk about Messiah comes because the world has not known Yah. I didn't say because the Messiah hasn't known him, but because the world hasn't known him. Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him might not perish. Means that many didn't believe in him because they did not know him. Same kind of thing, my brothers and sisters, you see at Yohanan, John 14. He says that there's a truth from the Holy Spirit that those who have been rightly prepared, he said they would understand. He said, Messiah said to his disciples that they would understand the testimony of the Spirit because the Spirit was in them, had been with them. And even, he said, in so many ways, because they had had orientation from him since the beginning. So, understand, my brothers and sisters, the Messiah, the Deliverer, who raises the conscience of men, comes because the world has not known the Most High to the dimension to which it should have. And when those scriptures talk about the churches in Asia Minor, you need to think about the idea, my brothers and sisters, they had much more Hellenist, Grecianized, or Greco-Roman influence. Having, maybe you can put it this way, less awareness of the promise of the one called the Righteous One from the Rising Sun, the one who would declare absolution to the world. But if the scripture says the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, according to the prophecies that are in Isaiah 11, wow, more to talk about. I've been trying to put these things together for the last few weeks to try to bring all these things to a head. According to scripture, Isaiah 11, 10 through 12, it talks about one who will come a second time to regather Israel. One who will regather all the tribes of Israel, Judah and Ephraim, again as one. To him shall all the nations seek. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. All the prophecies say when that one comes, he comes at a time when the whole world is blind. And if he said to close the prophecies in Revelation that he is the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star, and those who understood the time knew that when he comes because the whole world and all its rulers are blind, then the faith, my brothers and sisters, was always unto a sense of absolution. Always unto expecting a dimension of righteousness that exceeds the rulers, my brothers and sisters. Brings again to mind the truth of the prophets that the rulers had not declared. Think about it. If all things declared in the scriptures were taught purely and completely, there would be no argument. There would be no contradictions. All would have one agreement. But we understand, my brothers and sisters, what is also written in Revelation, in the 26th chapter, 22nd chapter, excuse me. Phew, 26th and 2nd chapter, how about after the 16th verse? It really should be translated, I, Yeshua, have sent this testimony, this witness, this testimony, this message, you should testify in the churches. Testify that he is the wooden offspring of David, the bright morning star. I hope you understand this, my brothers and sisters, because the scripture really relates that he is one that, because he would judge mankind according to all righteousness, all the Most High declared, all that's been declared in the law and the prophets, even since the world began, even the one who, remember the Messiah himself said, if you fall victim then to anyone who in any way denies the law and the prophets, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. Talking about Matthew 5, 14 through 26. And this is ultimately unto a perfect reconciliation. He said you're supposed to be the salt of the world, the light of the world, salt of the earth, the light of the world. The ones who preserve and uphold all righteousness. Like salt preserves the thing and keeps it from spoiling. The light of the world, the people who show forth the pure and perfect peace and the righteousness of the Most High that the whole world might follow and come to the one sense of harmony and completion acceptable unto the Most High. This is not being, my brothers and sisters, after the unrighteousness of the rulers. He said, your righteousness must exceed that of your rulers, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. How about, my brothers and sisters, if no one exceeds the unrighteousness of a multitude of treacherous rulers, everyone is in bondage to someone's deceitfulness, and in some way a deceiver. In fact, my brothers and sisters, I say either man exceeds the unrighteousness of all the devils, or every man is still yet subject to a devil. Who is it then, my brothers and sisters? The scripture said in Isaiah 50, that the Most High calls by name, that the Most High will become his strength, that he no longer functions after the vantages of this world. Isaiah 11 says he doesn't judge according to what his eyes see nor what his ears hear. Isaiah 50 says that the Most High, he will say of the Most High morning by morning, as the Most High caused his ears to hear the teaching. He's not turned back the rebellious way, that he should know how to declare a word. How about to strengthen those who become spiritually weak, that they might discern indeed what is the righteousness of Yah? And he's not turned back, nor would he turn back from turn back toward the rebellious way. He would not turn back away from the path toward righteousness. My brothers and sisters, the Messiah is one the Most High calls to discern what a world for a long time has not. He calls prophets to speak what for a long time, my brothers and sisters, men would not. And the scriptures in Isaiah 41 says the same, because the Most High says in Isaiah 41, before the appearance of Messiah, he looked. And he didn't find anyone who would preach fully what is the gospel. None who would declare indeed a word of absolution that would bring the peoples back to what the Most High declared from the beginning, an eternal covenant of peace. So he says, behold my servant, my elect, and my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. He should bring forth justice. He didn't say the other standards were justice at all. Did you notice, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says about the one called the bright morning star, the written offspring of David, pretty much what Messiah said himself. He said at 22:18, if I testify unto every man, this is part of the testimony concerning the judgment that should come upon mankind, and even the salvation that come upon mankind, and receiving the revelation of a conscience and righteousness that it has not had. He said, I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Yah shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yah shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of his possibility, if you will, or hope of entering into the holy city, residence in the holy city. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, him being disqualified from attaining to the, if you will, the blessings that are written in the book. They say, he that testifies, there it is again, who sent forth this message, who testified these things, said, surely I come quickly. Well, my brothers and sisters, what I want you to understand, that word quickly also means when he comes suddenly, which means men should always be prepared. What I want you to understand, and understanding this, my brothers and sisters, men have had a concept of a Christ, and I've said it before, it's a Greek word, polytheist word, one that breeds much apathy. In other words, men not serious enough to seek what fully transcends all the lies of this world. What I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, again, is that according to Malachi 2:17, Messiah will come because the Most High is not pleased that the priests and the leaders have said that everyone who does according to their own evil, deviant, short-sighted, if you will, perverse, polluted ways. Most High is not pleased, though men have said that the Most High delights in such. So Messiah will come to purge. Yes, indeed. He will purge out from authority. Humiliate, my brothers and sisters, whoever it is that has taught men consider themselves sufficient, or cause them to be self-satisfied and prideful, and a standard, partial in the law, treacherous against the covenant, teaching the ways of foreign gods. He intends to expose them all. Realize then, my brothers and sisters, the day of salvation, the day of judgment is one and the same. For the day of judgment, my brothers and sisters, will declare indeed what is the glory of the Most High, what indeed is the light. so that all those who have declared words of darkness, confusion, error, misconceit will be exposed. And without question, my brothers and sisters, we look around us, we see 45,000 denominations, meaning that man has done some everything indeed he could to imagine, to corrupt himself away from the covenant. Otherwise, you never have the divisions. Man has shown what he would do, my brothers and sisters, when so often he's compelled to make an avocation of just simply comforting the people and telling them what they want to hear. Finding that they, so it seems, there's no one to reprove them while they act unjustly, catering first to their own lusts and their own greed. Truly, my brothers and sisters, when Messiah comes to reprove mankind for all the deep depravity in which, to which he has fallen, there will be no question about the fact that the rulers were not his servants. I repeat, my brothers and sisters, it will become evident in that day that the rulers were not his servants, or else they would have never sanctioned so much depravity. One scripture in Isaiah, well, how about the one in Jeremiah 23? That's a good place. Jeremiah 23 talks about so many calling themselves prophets, but the Most High says, if they had heard his voice and stood in his counsel, heaven help us. How many have? How many have stood, my brothers and sisters, at the foot of the Father? How many have seen third heaven? How many have stood in the company of angels to hear their testimony? But the Most High says in Jeremiah 23, warning against false prophets, he said that these prophets have gone forth, but he has not sent them. But he said, if they stood in my counsel and heard my voice, he said they would have turned the people from their wicked ways. He would have shown them if they were truly his prophets. They would have shown the people where in so many ways their doctrines fall far short of what is divine expectation. Because the true prophet, my brothers and sisters, is again, does not judge after what his eyes see nor what his ears hear, but he does bring forth the judgment and the concept of also bringing forth discretion. The scripture says Messiah comes forth in his mouth like a sharp two-edged sword. He will discern what is and what is not, who will serve Yah and who will serve him not. This is what is written of him when it speaks about him coming in the book of Malachi, and it calls him the son of righteousness that arises. All my brothers and sisters, I pray that so much of this scripture will come together in the minds of those who hear. For those scriptures, as I told you, in Revelation 22nd, he said he's the written offspring of David and the bright morning star. Well, actually saying, my brothers and sisters, to those who understand it, that no one is going to be delivered, my brothers and sisters, but those whose concept of seeking salvation demands that they seek everything and all its connotations is contained in the law and the prophets. And those who know the truth concerning the one that's called, that has the keys of David, who will sit upon the throne. Isaiah 11 is a good place to look. Isaiah 22nd as well. Really, Isaiah 11 through 14 chapter. Talking about someone's going to expose all the confusion of the world. Same thing said of the one called the bright morning star, the king of the east, righteous from the rising sun, likened to the rising sun. Angel, from the rising sun, king of the east, Revelation 7:2. Every case, my brothers and sisters, someone's talking about someone who's going to declare an exactitude, because the Most High is not going to sign his name to any forged contract that's been altered in any way by the conscience of any man. I want you to understand what these things all mean, my brothers and sisters, because men have taught the concept of a Christ who many believe have sanctioned it when men have taken his name and his authority and divided it across 45,000 denominations and 280 nations as if he didn't mean all that he says. It means, my brothers and sisters, that when Messiah appears, and his righteousness is revealed. All those who have sustained such partial standards, not preparing the people to look for a greater righteousness than what is taught among all the churches and all the nations, everyone who has not taught people to prepare themselves to see something greater, that's going to reprove all these institutions, has compelled men to fall from faith in Yah and to trust in men. And the scriptures in Zephaniah 3rd chapter speaks about Messiah coming to speak to the people. Talks about he comes to a city that's wicked, confused. Isaiah 24, Isaiah 19, Zephaniah 3rd. Morning by morning, he brings forth the teaching, or morning by morning, he declares a testimony. His testimony does not fail. It's not a following. But the wicked don't know no shame. My brothers and sisters, it's because the rulers have not sought the fullness of the scripture, but only sought to applaud themselves, exalting their thrones, their pulpit seats. It's because of this, my brothers and sisters, the leaders not teaching people everything they should have known, that many, my brothers and sisters, would not hear when Messiah came to save. Did you hear me? It means it is because the rulers have been treacherous and not taught the people, and oftentimes the people have been comforted enough to become proud in their ignorance, that, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures actually relate that at first a city, ultimately a very large metropolis, in fact, a city like five cities in one, like Sodom and Gomorrah was. Read Isaiah 19, 18-25, compared to Genesis 14, 1-4. A lot of this you'll find on my website, hiddengospel.com, Secret City Prophecies. Another article called Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Talks about a city, my brothers and sisters. Scriptures in Revelation 16, 12-21 calls it, in that place, a great city. Would be destroyed, my brothers and sisters, and many perishing, simply because they would not listen to tell a world that time's up on playing with this. Because no one's going to be confirmed, my brothers and sisters, steadfast and for the Most High. For those who can discern the prophecies, because they've been utmost diligent, that when they hear, they shall quickly discern by the grace of the Most High that the one who teaches these things and declares these things, indeed, my brothers and sisters, is the Son of Man. Revelation, my brothers and sisters, as prophecy says, they speak about the idea when the Son of Man comes, the rulers will be seen, hides from the face of the Lamb, him who sits upon the throne. For the day of his wrath has come, who should be able to stand? Luke 24 talks about the same thing. Be watchful, he's maybe able to stand before the Son of Man. And all these scriptures talk about the one called the Son of Man, the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. It's talking about one who reproves all the leaders. What else was Messiah saying, my brothers and sisters, but have faith to seek the truth, even if a whole world doesn't know it? Have you not heard? Have you not understood? There's no searching of all that is his understanding. If he's going to reprove all the leaders, according to Isaiah 40:41, it means you should seek a righteousness and a dimension of righteousness and truth that it's already said in advance the rulers wouldn't have taught you. My brothers and sisters, again, in the East, many of these prophecies were understood about the coming of Messiah. Those who can be proud after a multitude of diverse standards would not catch on to these things easily at all. They would not understand so quickly that salvation is in the proving foolish every unrighteous standard. Because as long as men don't discern the wickedness of the lawless, those partial in the law, men will uphold, my brothers and sisters, hasty, partial, corrupt, perverted, and polluted standards, as if they were God, because they simply did not recognize the iniquity, the inequity of those who have taught them what before Yah is so much injustice. My brothers and sisters, brothers and and sisters? How much truth have they hid from you? Have you even begun to imagine just how much? How many points did they never even compel you to consider? Have you ever really considered just how much? Again, the Apostle Shaul said to the people that they not let down their guard nor relax in their pursuit of truth. He said, even concerning himself, I know nothing of which I am guilty, but I might not be right in this. My judge will be the Most High, even Messiah. In this case, he was talking about Messiah himself. He said, therefore, let us not consider ourselves so wise, definitely not so wise after the ways of this world, that a multitude of diverse standards this world wants to call wise, to whom the Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things, the things that men have not considered. He said, and then shall every man know how to praise Yah. I did not say some deviant. I did not say someone, my brothers and sisters, who would twist, pervert, and partialize the word. I said someone, my brothers and sisters, who would declare it all. That there won't be any more debate as to what is divine standard. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, as I said before, that as long as it is merely the power of men that men use to decide, or at least for a moment decide, or bow themselves to authority, that they respect something, it's always going to be a matter of who has the biggest guns, biggest bomb, the greatest wealth. And men oftentimes don't care what they do to collect it. Don't care how many ways men are exploited. They tell you about a lot of places on earth, my brothers and sisters, that men have been made absolute slaves and don't even know it. Because that's all they know. Because their rulers have sold them out. And injustice is all they see. Or if I were to sit back and talk about the cases where overseas men have gone and found people sold into slavery, and when they sought to bring them out, the people didn't even know that there's another way of life better than what they've been exposed to. Now you're talking about a mind game, brothers and sisters. But I can only tell you, it happens much more often than people even think they know. There are those who will fight tooth and nail to preserve the unrighteousness that's taught to them by their political and national and pseudo-religious and denominational regimes. Fight tooth and nail to see these things preserved. Some will do it because their pastors, when a dear friend died, they sent them off in what they call a going home, ceremony, funeral, compelled them to believe that after particular denominational allegiance, that it was sufficient to enter the kingdom of Yah. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you this now. It will be one day soon understood that the rulers of this earth have had no power to declare any man's entrance into the kingdom of Yah. The papacy tried to claim it had the power are the keys of Peter, that's what they called it. And to claim they had such authority. Pastors and priests didn't necessarily have to see it in a lot of churches because what they said at various people's funerals and epitaphs oftentimes left people to just presume that it was so. But my brothers and sisters, the king himself decides. And my brothers and sisters, no, it's not according to somebody else's standard that it will be, the decision will be made as to who enters the kingdom and who does not. And in fact, in that context, my brothers and sisters, because the covenant has been declared from the beginning, you can pretty much say that those who have died, when the scripture says he who dies without the law perishes without the law, you can pretty much say that according to the covenant, my brothers and sisters, already pretty much decided according to whether or not they fulfill that covenant or are projected to do so. It's pretty much decided, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways, who's going to enter that kingdom and who's not. Messiah said, if you deny any place the law of the prophets, there's no case in the kingdom of Yah. Doesn't that tell you that whether or not men seek the fullness of that covenant, it will decide whether or not they enter the kingdom? One scripture said, blessed are they who do his commandments, and they have a right to the tree of life. But they didn't tell you that word for do means seek his perfect will. Scripture says that the testimony of brothers and sisters should be testified in the churches is that he is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. And most have never known what those prophecies or what that scripture, that admonishment is really all about. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the very word for church comes from an idea about coming out of the darkness into the light. Out of the world, it is multitude of confusion and darkness, multitudes of confusion and darkness in its institutionality and its allegiances and beliefs. My brothers and sisters, do people really believe they come into an invariant light after all the diversities we see in the world? Like I said, people getting their credentials from institutions that never cared about absolution, meaning they're totally, completely inviolable. Most High doesn't respect them at all. Well, the very word for church, my brothers and sisters, relates the institutions that seek to bring the people out of the darkness into the light. What about if they don't have the light? Scripture says Messiah is going to come forth one day saying, bind all the testimony, seal all the law and the prophets. If they don't speak according to that cumulative word and all things that's related there, according to what he brings as judgment, said they don't have the light in them. He said, testify in the churches, he's the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The one who will judge mankind according to all that is divine, righteous, all the law and the prophets. Since they didn't teach you this, my brothers and sisters, the question to ask, if they leave you to be quickly apathetic, neither cold nor hot in your pursuit of righteousness, not concerned, like one pastor told me, what does those scriptures have to do with his salvation? Showing about a multitude of things that he never preached. And he asked, what does that do with his salvation? Never stop to consider that he said, if you deny the law of the prophets, you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. You shall not be made whole or steadfast or confirmed enough, steadfast enough to be called a ultimately a governor in his kingdom, because believe me, those who enter that kingdom are going to be doing much more than just running around, like people say, running around heaven all day, as they put it. Now I'm talking about the kingdoms on earth. They will be the governors and rulers of the nations, my brothers and sisters. The governors and rulers of the people to assure that the knowledge of what is divine peace, justice, is discerned across the nations. If the rulers, my brothers and sisters, didn't prepare the people to become sufficient in their wisdom, to become the head and not the tail, then, my brothers and sisters, just simply by hiding the truth, they kept the whole world subject to injustice, locked and in bondage, my brothers and sisters, to a stasis of conscience that the Most High can by no means exalt to establish a kingdom that's worthy of his name. So Messiah, my brothers and sisters, must come himself, according to all prophecy. One who will be that faithful and chosen, precious, tried, tested, found true, if you will, faithful and true cornerstone. That the stone of truth, the rock-solid foundation of truth for the world, has not accepted or has rejected, refused, shall indeed come the chief stone of the corner, the chief stone in the knowledge of the truth and justice, my brothers and sisters, upon which a just and holy kingdom shall be established to endure forever. What I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, if they didn't tell you the full implications of those closing words in Revelation 22, whose church, my brothers and sisters, have you been subject to? I can only tell you that the word for church comes from a word the Greeks called kyriake, but its ancient meaning, my brothers and sisters, was the house. They translated in Greek what translates into English to house of the Lord. Did they tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the Greeks didn't have a word for one supreme deity. And if it's the house of the one supreme deity, my brothers and sisters, it's the house that declares its faith and its worship in a divine absolute. No 45,000 divine absolutes, my brothers and sisters. No 45,000 denominations. No 280 kings, my brothers and sisters, that are true to the one King of Kings. When the scripture says, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom, they put down kingdom of Yah is at hand. How about understand and say, prepare yourselves for the king? Because many have trusted in the misrule of a whole lot of different pastors, a whole lot of different priests, rabbis, elders, imams, whatever you want to call them, presidents, premiers, kings, princes, bishops, dukes, duchesses, whatever. Like people have trusted in the rule of many of my brothers and sisters who have forgotten that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. They forgot the Messiah to be sent, strength of the Most High. Most High will subdue nations at his hands. King of glory, my brothers and sisters, mighty in battle. To silence all the false righteousness the world has believed. Because guess what, my brothers and sisters? Whoever taught false righteousness has been the instrument of a deceiver. And it's only when every angel of darkness that has come, a messenger of darkness and confusion, claiming to be an angel of light, is silenced, exposed, humiliated in his unrighteousness, will the world finally be truly free. It comes to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise, to expose every liar.
90 seconds.
To prove foolish, my brothers and sisters, all the diverse standards of this world, that men might discern what indeed is wisdom. I find it amazing that men have talked about salvation, but not always talked about deliverance from every lie and every liar. He said the true children of Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity. How about my brothers and sisters? They will hearken to him according to Isaiah 44. Who proves foolish?
60 seconds.
They will hearken to him whom the Most High has called because the world has not known Yah as he is. What did he say in Isaiah 28 relative to Matthew 7 or vice versa? He said a lot of folks will come saying, did we not crying out, Lord, Lord, do we not in your name preach? Cast out illusions, devils, do any wonderful works. Messiah said, keep away from me, you never knew me. My brothers and sisters, if all people know of the devious standard, no, they have not known. Yeah. Who's ready to understand what indeed is salvation according to the scriptures, my brothers and sisters? Salvation is not talking about preserving a lie or destroying and obliterating every lie that only the truth remains. Who's ready to understand it in this time? Let's talk about the future. In the time to come, my brothers, I pray the Most High allows it, and I pray your ears will be ready to hear it. And I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near to his praise always. Hallelujah! I thank you all again for listening. Keep doing so, my brothers and sisters. Got much to tell.